Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
It's brought to you by Shift, the global money app. Download Shift, S-H-Y-F-T, and get the cheapest forex rates around, no matter where you bank. That's terrifying, Warren Ingram, director at Galileo Capital and personal financial advisor and regular contributor to The Money Show. Herschel Jarvitz is blowing wide open the problem in the residential property market in Joburg.
Yeah, I think it's those of us that live in the economic hub of SA are I don't think any of us would be surprised by what Herschel was saying. Just horrible to hear it again, but certainly agree with him. I think the one point is, if I understand, and I mean, I'm anyone who's listened to us for a while will know we kind of not big fans of municipal government here. So I'm going to be the last person to defend them. I think they've been horrible. But if these rates are being used to provide services, in other words, they're saying we're finding a way to be able to charge you for sewage collection, every now and then actually filling a pothole, etc. And this is our methodology of calculation. I think we need to be careful that we confuse apples with polar bears, because actually, we all know that inflation, if it's been running at 5% a year, then at some point what you pay for municipal services should be rising as well, because salaries are going up, cost of buying stuff has gone up, and
But when you're determining rates and taxes on a property valuation that you're creating that doesn't reflect the actual price and the value of the property, because the property market has gone backwards because you failed to do your job, that is going to make ratepayers a bit cross, or it should.
It should make ratepayers cross, and I'm one of them, so I will be cross. But I just think our job is always perspective, and perspective is, what does it cost to build the new building? Is it more expensive than the market price, and does it cost more to actually provide those services? If it does, at some point the price needs to rise, otherwise the city, just gets less and less capable of providing whatever services they do provide.
So you've come back all reasonable and pleasant. I don't think you should have another holiday, because I don't like this, Warren. Now listen, let's talk about the lessons from the stock market. 2022 was not a great year for the stock market. January 2023, on the other hand, has been fantastic, but we should have learned some fairly awful lessons from 2022 that we can carry forward and hopefully not repeat this year. What are your big ones?
Well, I think the first one, and maybe as you say, the start of 23 has been phenomenal. And my first one there is, anything can and will happen in markets. And it's important to know that, when you're investing, you're going to do calculations, whether you're a professional or private investor, doesn't matter. You're going to set out a plan. With the best intent in the world, the best research in the world, you're going to start your plan. And just have the understanding that whatever the plan is, it will be changed for you by circumstances. And for me, a big one which I'm struggling to absorb is when the Russians invaded Ukraine, the kind of rest of the world, they created a new weapon in the world, and that was a weapon of finance, where they effectively erased Russia from the world's financial systems. You couldn't move money to and from Russia anymore, et cetera, et cetera. It was a real weaponization of finance, and certainly won't be the last time we'll see that financial nuclear bomb being dropped on a badly behaving country. But what equally happened was the Russians then, it's my words, but they effectively nationalized foreign investment assets that have gone into Russia. And so if you were like me and you own exchange traded funds, one of your exchange traded funds was a generic Russian exchange traded fund, you now own nothing. It's been taken by the Russians and you'll never get that money back. It's gone. That is entirely unforeseen in the world of money. It's never happened before. Definitely won't be the last time it'll happen again, I'm sure. But you just need to know, you cannot foresee and predict how events unfold. You can't know what's unknowable. And I think it's important to have the humility there when you make investment decisions, to know you can't forecast what's going to happen. And I think it's an important lesson. And from there, you can learn new lessons. I've learned now that I will never buy a single country exchange traded fund again, so I can learn lessons from it. And that will be my main point, is you just need to know, anything can happen. be capable of changing your view and adaptable in your investments. Don't be so singular in your investment view that one big event just wipes you out. And I think it's a lesson that we need to learn now and bank it for the future. The world is getting noticeably more unpredictable, noticeably more uncertain, and so make sure that you're prepared for the things you can't predict right now. Those kind of notorious black swans. So for me, that was the first one. The second one, Bruce, is kind of an oldie but goodie, and it's happening to us all the time right now. Is you cannot rely on a forecast or a prediction. The analysts will call them forecasts. Economists will call them forecasts. I'll call it a prediction. And what I'll tell you is, any forecast is as valuable as flipping a coin. You're flipping a coin is probably more accurate. And just to give you an idea, there was this darling of the COVID kind of boom in tech companies, Peloton. Anybody that's got an indoor cycling machine will know what Peloton is. And it was absolutely
booming. And it's got a great product, and people loved the product, except the share price rose disproportionately to what was going on. The same with Beyond Meat. And the same with a whole bunch of these really good ideas, but market put a stupid price on them because it got overexcited.
They did, and then I think the Peloton management got equally excited. They just saw the trillions of dollars going to be rolling in their future, and what happened was the world opened up again, and people went back out into the roads and onto the mountains, and kind of the demand for Peloton product. I'm not saying it went to zero; it definitely didn't, but it certainly wasn't at that COVID peak, and so that share price, from a high of kind of $40, collapsed to about $6. But surprise, surprise, Peloton is now more than 60% up over the last 6 months, and having a very solid recovery from a position where I read a few articles from analysts wondering whether Peloton would be around. The point there is the prediction of management of Peloton and analysts who pushed that share price through the roof, and then the journalist wondering whether Peloton would be surviving, both were wrong. And so the truth is somewhere in between that. So don't rely on predictions when you make your investment decisions about an individual share or individual company, or indeed your entire investment portfolio. Forecasting at the beginning of this year that the world would be a fabulous place in the first 3 weeks or month of the investment world would have probably been committed to the loony bin, but that's exactly what happened, and so you needed to be in the market to get that recovery, and certainly a lot of people wouldn't have been. They would have been waiting for interest rates to peak and fall over again in the US before they did anything. So please don't make investment predictions for your own portfolio. Just know it's a fun, entertaining thing to talk about. You can, kind of bet, a chocolate or a bottle of wine or whatever it is with your friends, but don't invest your financial future based on something which I'm telling you is going to be wrong. The likelihood that you are right, or an economist or an analyst is right, is extremely small. And if you are right, well done. You won't be right next time. That's kind of how this game works.
And the idea also, people get wedded to ideas as well, Warren. People get like, you must buy gold. You must always have gold. You must always have gold, or you must only buy shares, or you must only buy bonds. You must only do this. You should only do that. And some themes are strong, and some themes last a long time, but not everything lasts forever. And that's, I suppose, the biggest lesson for a lot of people.
Exactly, and I think we've touched on the crypto world for years now, and certainly the rise of crypto and the way it, how strong it was for such a long period of time, and how big it became was really surprising to me, and then it fell over, and I'm not saying again that if the crypto theme was stronger for longer than a lot of us thought, it doesn't mean that the collapse is now done and it'll never recover. The truth is, we don't know. The same applies to the tech shares of the last decade. Big tech in America was kind of an easy bet to make, and I think people got lulled into the view that's it. That's the only way you can make money forever. Warren Buffett's a dinosaur. Old world is gone, and anyone. Yeah. And look at us now. I think the world has turned, and Berkshire as a share has been fantastic.
Nobody likes to lose money. What's Warren Buffett's rule? Rule number one, never lose money. Rule number two, don't forget rule number one. Something along those lines.
That's Warren Buffett, but I have to. I mean, it's hard to disagree with him because he's been so right for so long. But I think in the investment world, we need to know losses are an absolute fact of life. I'm not saying permanent losses of capital. That's a very different story. But your investments going up and down in the same year and doing that year after year after year is an absolute reality for you. You know, in the U.S. market from 1946 to now, which is, you know, it's been not far off 100 years by now, it goes down about 10% in a calendar year, pretty much every single year since 1946. Very, very few years when it hasn't done that. But the U.S. stock market as a whole is up an incredible amount since that time. And so just to understand that, you know, losing money in a year or two is normal, and panicking about that is not a good idea. Losses are part of your life when you are an investor and trying to beat inflation. So when you see those losses, and you know, 2022 was a good example of that, stay the course, because look what's happening in 23. A lot of things are coming back, and you know, we wouldn't have known they would have come back so quickly, and maybe they fall over again. We don't know. But the reality is these losses are normal. We don't know why they'll happen. They always happen for different reasons, but they do happen. And the only antidote, and that's lesson number five and my last one, bet only on one thing, and that is diversification.
Here's the problem, Warren, because you preach diversification at a time where a handful of shares, let's call them the FANGs, are going up, and they can only go up. And those that are not diversifying, they're not going to the S&P 500. They're going to the biggest five or six shares in the S&P 500 because it's making up 60% of the gains on the S&P 500. And really, you've got to be mad to buy any of that other stuff. Diversification is old news. And suddenly the FANGs fall on their face, and you're very grateful for diversification if you did it.
Exactly right. And I mean, look at South Africa. You know, for a long time, the only share to buy was Naspers. You know, that was the thing that just drove the market up, and resources were dead, and you know, they were the old world, and nothing was ever going to happen again. You know, massive anti-mining sentiment around the world. And now we live in a different environment. You know, resources are not not the lousy sector that a lot of people said they were, and have delivered some very good returns. And Naspers fell over, and then everyone was saying, well, hang on, you know, the Chinese government are going to destroy, you know, these big tech companies, and then that story's changed, and all of a sudden Naspers isn't so bad. And so I think the point is, diversification of shares, of bonds, of property, diversification of regions, geographies, you know, everything you can, spread your assets reasonably wide and over asset types, and then very wide over geographies is a really safe way to kind of build money consistently. And yes, you won't have all your money in the market that's doing the very best, but you also won't have all your money in the market that falls over. And I think that's the reality here. We are in a long, very long marathon. And the only way to do that is one step at a time across many kinds of asset classes. And that's the way you make money. This is to me, you know, if I had to summarize the five things that we should have all learned from the last few years, and certainly would stand us in very good stead for the next decade or five.
I want a really difficult question to you from Katlego this evening, and it's such a good question. My parents are retiring this year, and I'm really worried about them. The news is so negative around the world. We've had so much bad news in South Africa with load shedding and dodgy politics. You guys often say, don't worry about this and just invest. My parents have got no more time to accumulate money. How can they just invest when everything is so bad?
Yeah, and I hear it, Katlego. I think it's easy to be glib about something like this, you know, and just say, you know, be greedy when others are fearful and run into the burning building and every other investment cliche around there. And a lot of people would kind of just be making those comments and kind of frown at you when you say, well, I'm still afraid. And, you know, what you just told me doesn't help. I think it's to understand, Katlego, there isn't a great time to be an investor. There is never going to be a good time to retire and stop and kind of cash in your chips and know that everything was great and your parents retired at the perfect moment and are able to invest for the rest or the next stage of their lives with absolute comfort. There are always going to be many very good reasons to be deeply fearful. And retirement is such a traumatic time when you know that from now on, you know, you've got no more incoming from your labor. You've only got outgoings every day and every week and every month. And the only way that you can sustain yourself is from the investments that you've made over your lifetime and need to continue making for the rest of your lifetime. And I think in our country, the news is generally bad, and the stock market doesn't always reflect that. And I think that's one comment. And then two, your parents need to realize that they're investing for the next 30, 40 years. And what happens over the next 2 or 3 years is going to be scary, but not necessarily absolutely detrimental to their financial futures. They've got to invest to beat inflation. They can't put all their money in the bank account, and just earn interest because tax will wipe them out. They have to be deeply worried about the cost of living, about inflation, and find ways to beat inflation. And that means they've got to take risks with stock markets and listed property markets and bond markets. But they just need to be properly diversified. Make sure they're not kind of taking big calls in one direction or another. If they are worried about SA, make sure they've got a good, decent exposure to global markets as well. And then they've got to stay the course and maybe, stop reading the bad news all the time and just know that things are going to be bad from, every now and then. And kind of ignore the big scary forecasts and bad predictions. And remember, in South Africa, the stock market is not a reflection of the economy. The South African stock market is massively diversified away from what's going on the ground. And so load shedding is terrible. And it's really almost a humanitarian crisis in our country, but not necessarily a stock market crisis for every company in the JSE, especially the big ones. They have the financial muscle to deal with what's going on. And they do so much business out of SA that actually what goes on here is relevant, but not absolutely critical to their futures. So I hope that helps, Katlego. I think you've got to convince them to get invested, stay the course. And sometimes you just got to close your eyes. If you're properly diversified, things will turn. That's what's happened over the last 120 years.
Warren Ingram, thank you very much indeed. Warren is a director at Galileo Capital, a personal financial advisor and regular Thursday night contributor to The Money Show.